就是你跟他们这么遇到学习的话，一般哇，我们就一个提醒，我们刚下到一个到了，把背包扣，把的鱼肉包头，然后包完面包拿过去，
包，
哦，把的拿过去，把的鱼肉包头都下去，下把那什么猪牛肉那个，下刚下到一个到了，把这些，你看到家进不去了，是，他们都是拿去，等的差点累死，就这么办？刚才把光家把它下去。牛都拆了吧，军都，我们就不能说东西学习。
So as usual, we will spend the next couple of minutes doing our usual meditation and visualization practice. Yeah. And by the way, please keep pua in your prayers. You know pua, yeah. Because for the past many years, it's been offering service in.Transcribing and you know arranging for the transcribing of notes yeah, for our classes yeah but now he's come down with a rare disease so keep him in our prayers and then wish him well yeah to yeah good recover
yeah.
Yeah, so Pua has been helping in this area. Yeah. I mean, even from the previous basic program for many years, and he is still helping you, even to this day.
Yeah.
So we must not forget the kindness that many of us have received from getting the notes for the basic program classes for the past many years. Okay, so we must not forget the service offered by him. So please keep him in your prayers. Okay. Obedience to my Guru and protector, Manjushri, who holds to his heart the scriptural text symbolic of seeing all things as they are, whose understanding shines forth as the sun unclouded by defilements, all traces of ignorance, whose teachers in 60 ways to the patient love of a father for his only son, all creatures caught in the prison of samsara, confused in the darkness of an ignorance, overwhelmed by their suffering, you whose dragon thunder proclamation of the Dharma arouses us from the stupor of our delusions and frees us from the iron chains of our, whose powerful sword of wisdom heals down suffering wherever its sprouts appear, clearing away the darkness of all ignorance. I entreat you, O Manjushri, whose princely body is adorned with 112 marks of a Buddha, has completed the 10 stages, achieving the highest perfection of a Bodhisattva who has been pure from the beginning. O Manjushri, all-loving one, with the brilliance of your wisdom, illuminate the darkness enclosing our minds, enlighten our intelligence and wisdom, so that we may gain insight in the Buddhist words and texts that explain them. Maravatanandi Nsai Shibodhi Nsai Shimedo Dari Radishi Ni Zangye Shindo Mide Bewa Giro Kinnanda Shila Chilo Isho
chanchurisim kebe tab niye ve nane zoda jinde minga dinji kuri ta chanchurisim ke di shibe katu o di che ani di nane kazo dugala ani marxie jinde jinso sum ani di gongguay juzene kanasana zoda simze tab yidu ma tohan chido di gongguay ares simze tab yidu ma tohantuna tela bebe 이런게 참 맛이 깨뜨네. 이런게 참 맛이 깨뜨나 텔레비전 이제 참 맛이 깨뜨고 했어. 어디서 가서 된다시. 가서 엄마 됐는데 내가.
So let's recap a little bit of on what we were looking at here. Of the two methods for developing the spirit of enlightenment or bodhicitta, we have started looking at the first one, the sevenfold cause and effect instruction, right? And in this instruction, there is the instruction to see or to recognize all sentient beings as having been our mother, and then on that basis recollecting their kindness, and then developing a wish to repay that kindness. The purpose of reflecting on these three instructions is to enable us to see living being as attractive. You're able to have this feeling that they matter to you, right? That they are precious, right? If we are able to see everyone as precious, as very attractive, very pleasant, then we will be able to develop this love, yeah. The love which arises through the force of such an attraction, yeah. And on the basis of which, then we will be able to develop great compassion.
What in the switch? Then you just jump get the jella, and in Tinema, that are somehow silly giddy, ninja jibble, since all that ninja did that. Much it didn't just your chapel, ninja
juice, So, we are discussing this in the context of how great compassion is important, right? Isn't it? The discussion of how great compassion is important at the beginning, middle, and end. The reflections on how all sentient beings have been our mother, remembering their kindness, developing a wish to repay their kindness, and then developing a love which comes, which sees all sentient beings as very pleasant, very precious. Yeah, these four are the causes for developing great compassion, right? So we need these four. They are the causes of great compassion. And after great compassion is developed, is generated in our minds, then wholehearted resolve and the development of the actual spirit of enlightenment, bodhicitta, can happen. So the development of wholehearted resolve and the spirit of and the mind of the, what's it called? The mind of the spirit of enlightenment or something like that, right? Or bodhicitta. So these two are the effects of great compassion, yeah?
Ani chi saksam na semke di ani ninchi tibu des ta ti shebe kabla ta thokpa yungwe ani thokpa di sege lenjawe o ti ngre ti shebe kabla thokpa yungwe re ani thokpa di lenjawe o ti ngre
Okay, then in the text now, where are we? So now we are at this point in the text where it talks about how the wholehearted resolve and bodhicitta are the effects of compassion. And right at the beginning of this discussion, a qualm is raised. Right? A qualm is raised and then the answer follows, right? Okay, the qualm is this. Once we have developed great compassion, the a mind that is unable to bear the sufferings of sentient beings, wouldn't you then develop a desire to achieve Buddhahood, a full enlightenment? Yeah. For sentient beings. So why do you need a wholehearted resolve? So why does wholehearted resolve come in between the development of great compassion and developing bodhicitta, the desire for enlightenment? Okay, so that's the qualm. So, and the answer that's provided in the text is this. Yeah. Although the hearers and the solitary realizers have the immeasurable love and compassion whereby they think if only beings could have happiness and be free from suffering, these non-Mahayana followers do not think, I will take on the responsibility to remove the sufferings and to provide the happiness of all living beings. So therefore, you must develop a wholehearted resolve that surpasses all other courageous thoughts. Yeah. Okay. So you must wholeheartedly assume the responsibility of producing this yourself.
So you got the answer? You got the question, yeah? So you got, you understand the answer or not? First is the question. You understand what the qualm, yeah? So the next one, the text is giving the answer for the qualm. So my point is whether you understand the answer or not.
It's time to look up.
Did anybody read and think about this?
No. Question. Huh? Smoke screen. I think press and hold, I think.
You think the comm is not correct?
Yes.
Huh?
Hello.
Oh, okay, hi.
Why is it that after you develop great compassion, you don't already have that resolution to lead all sentient beings out of suffering. I mean, you need the final, that special resolve. Because I thought it should be during the time when you develop great compassion that you develop this wish to do it yourself to lead all sentient beings out of their sufferings. Yeah. Why must you have this special resolve? It's like an extra step in you.
That's the
qualm. that's the qualm. I thought it should already happen.
Thank you.
On the
thank you.
Step.
Now I'm clearer about the qualm now. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. There you are.
It is related to her question about great compassion. Yeah. What is the difference between like great compassion and compassion? I mean, if great compassion is really the result.
Come later.
Yeah.
You got the calm, yeah? Huh? Great. There's the calm. So then Lama Tsongkhapa is explaining the answer below that. Yeah. How he answered. So my point is, what do you understand? How he answered the calm.
First, we must get the qualm. Yeah. The qualm is this. Once great compassion arises in anybody's mind, how would that person feel? When the person see suffering sentient beings, they would want to free that sentient being. They want to free that sentient being from the suffering. They have that wish, right? And following from that wish, then logically, they would then seek to achieve enlightenment in order to be able to act on their wish, isn't it? You agree, right? Oh, so wholehearted resolve is not necessary. So you can have the sixfold cause and effect instruction rather than the sevenfold.
So, Pastor, one less.
Yeah.
So,
if we, you know, in general, the thought, wishing or wanting others to be happy and to be free from suffering, in general, this thought, if you take it to be immeasurable compassion, and if you take it to be the same as well with great compassion, right? If we take it like this, yeah, then even the hearers and the solitary realizers would have such a thought.
Right?
But for Mahayana practitioner, having just great compassion is not sufficient. You need, on top of having a wish for others to be free from suffering, you must have the determination to do it, to act on it yourself, alone. You need this wholehearted resolve.
Today, Zang, Takarasena, Karasora, Tapachim, Suvala, Nabar, the Hakka Samashi, Oguyanis. You are Ninjasim, Yobatam, Tikiyamas, Ninjasim, Butam, Nirangituna Yores, the Tapachim, Suvala, Nabar, the Haksam Jaguar, Haksam Jane, Shinisimi Jaguaris. But that on the land, Tikar, just a Haksam Wadi, Haksam Nana, Tikamaris, the Simki Jetumaris.
So that's basically the answer, right? In order to enter into the ranks of the Mahayana, you need wholehearted resolve, yeah, from which then you are able to develop bodhicitta. Yeah? Just having just great compassion itself does not enable you to become a Mahayanist, yeah. Because even the people of the Hinayana dispositions, the hearers and the solitary realizers, even they have that great compassion, right? Okay? So I don't think there's a problem by explaining it in such a way that there shouldn't be any problem in saying that great compassion is also present in the minds of these hearers and solitary realizers. Why is it okay? Because assuming the responsibility, right? Let's say here, assuming the responsibility of freeing others from suffering does not occur in the hearers or the solitary realizer's mind. So the essence of the answer is this: having just great compassion alone will not enable the person to develop the spirit of enlightenment, bodhicitta. The wholehearted resolve which is assuming a personal responsibility to free others from suffering, must be generated before bodhicitta can be can arise. Yeah.
我讀起來,這個答答答你,答不給,讀吧的些,連你家比都好了,讀到寧波,那些卡斯呢,你讓你覺得寧波有把這麼幾個嘛的事情。你把它拉上過來。我讀的寧波的那些,用的那是不差不多。Well,
if you look at the actual answer provided in the text, right? So the text is saying that, you know, just having compassion alone is not enough, right? Even the hearers and the solitary realizers have it, yeah. So there must be something in addition, yeah. And that additional thing that comes before bodhicitta is laksam, we say in Tibetan, wholehearted resolve or universal responsibility, or I don't know how else they translate it. You know, different, you know, you see it in different books, yeah. So it is, you know, it is a very strong kind of compassion, the wholehearted resolve, yeah. Because it is not just a wish, but it is a wish that comes with feeling a personal responsibility, you know, for freeing others from suffering. It's, you actually take on the personal responsibility. Yeah. I will do it myself alone, yeah. So, but as to whether immeasurable compassion is the same as great compassion or not, this is something that you can discuss, right? I think there was a question from Sutrim, right? Who said, I think you said you have a question for the past how many years? We're wondering what's the difference between compassion and great compassion, yeah? So, is there a difference?
我讀起來,極端大,極端高,人家的人家全部是基本原則,是同大人,他說的,極端的基本小處的話,是吧?
So is there a difference between compassion and great compassion? You can make a difference.
那,極端的,人家是吧,人家,極端人家老闆,他說的,
So one can make a difference between compassion and great compassion, right? So compassion, if we just talk about compassion, let's say, just, you know, the word compassion, the idea of compassion, it can be a biased compassion. Yeah. Yeah. Partisan compassion or compassion with partiality. Right? But when we talk about great compassion is, you can say the great compassion, you know, is generated on the basis of impartiality towards all sentient beings. Yeah. That it becomes the basis. Impartiality towards everyone is the basis for great compassion. Yeah. Such a basis is not required for compassion in general, right? Ningje, we say in Tibetan. Ningje, compassion.
Mm.
In the treatises, in Tibetan it's called Shung, which means like, you know, not just those small little books, but the treatises, those mind-boggling texts, basically. In those texts, when they talk about immeasurable compassion, right? Immeasurable compassion can only be generated on the basis of having achieved one of the actual concentrations, one of the actual levels of concentrations. Only on the basis, then then one can talk about developing immeasurable compassion. Yeah. But such is not said with great compassion. Yeah, so in that sense, you could make a distinction between immeasurable compassion and great compassion. Yeah. So in the philosophical treatises, yeah, those major treatises, so it is explained that you need to have actualized at one of the actual concentrations before you can have immeasurable compassion. So as to whether the hearers and the solitary realizers possess great compassion in their minds or not, this is something that we can think about it. There are some scholars who said that they do have great compassion, whilst there are others who take the position that the Shravakas, the hearers and the solitary realizers, do not have great compassion in their minds. So which party you want after you? Elections, right? So anyway, back to the answer. The essence is that having great compassion alone is not sufficient. Yeah, that great compassion must become stronger to the point whereby you actually assume a personal responsibility to free others from suffering, and that is a wholehearted resolve. Yeah. So that must be present before there's any chance of developing bodhicitta. So as to how wholehearted resolve, how that will lead to bodhicitta is explained in the text. Once you intend to liberate all beings, you realize that in your present condition, you cannot fulfill the aims of even a single being. Moreover, even if you attain the high state of the two arhats, the four destroyers, yeah, you will still only be able to fulfill the aim of liberation for merely a few living beings and will be unable to establish them in omniscience. Therefore, if you think, who can fulfill the temporary and the final aims of limitless living beings? You will realize that only a Buddha has this ability. Then you will develop the desire to attain Buddhahood for the sake of these beings. Yeah.
Not to say, Cheta, that to the new body, the Sunga, that, Penata, Dumaina, Sanje, Tongche, Anishita, Dumato, that, Tanto, Logi, Gash, no, T. Gain Chiche, that Dumai Tower, the other, called the Rambi Chickens, that to the Dachibu Chickens, that means Shukchir, that means Shukchibu Chickens, the Rambi Chickens, somebody gained the one. She said, Nobat Dudamidus, that's all my time. Nobasula Dusana, and it's Zoga Sanja Conanatus, Zoga Sanja, go on the Matana Dimidu, then they can somebody get to me, that is somewhere.
So one first develops or generates a great compassion, which I wish to for all sentient beings to be free from suffering. When that great compassion becomes stronger, and when you come to the point where you assume a personal responsibility to do so, yeah, thinking that I will free all sentient beings from suffering myself, once you develop this wholehearted resolve, then you actually sit down and wonder. I mean, whether you can actually do it or not. I mean, you know, you have the resolve. Yeah, you've taken on the responsibility, and of course, you know, if you think about it, you know, no way, right? So, I mean, you have the wish, but, you know, the present condition, you know, no way we can do it. You know. Then if you analyze who can do the job, yeah, then if you discover that it is only a Buddha who can do this, then you will have the desire to become a Buddha, to become fully enlightened, yeah.
What did they assume? That didn't mean...
Okay, so next is the gradual training. So that is divided into three parts. Yeah. Training the mind to be intent on others' welfare. If you're following the root text is on page 140. In Lamrim Chemo is page 35. So the gradual training is divided into three. Training the mind to be intent on others' welfare. Training the mind to be intent on enlightenment. Identifying bodhicitta, the spirit of enlightenment, which is the fruit of the training, okay? And then the first one, training the mind to be intent on others' welfare, is divided into two. Okay? Establishing the basis for developing this attitude, and then the development of the attitude as being intent on others' welfare. Then the first one, establishing the basis for developing this attitude, has two parts. Achieving impartiality towards living beings and having affection for all beings. So establishing the basis for developing this attitude, basically is talking about has two parts. Achieving the first one is achieving impartiality towards living being, yeah. Okay. So here there are the the preparatory practices or the steps for developing this impartiality, you know, and then how do you actually meditate on impartiality? So meditating on impartiality is the very basis for adopting this gradual training in order to develop bodhicitta.
어떠시네. 다 담보 다 가르치다. 이제서 먼저 들랍사네. 아, 먼저 좀 받지. 다 기부 중원도 딩기 같은 시에다. 다 냠나 마시아로 다 기부 딩다. 다 중원 같은 냠낸디. 다 뭐나 먼저 지. 아니 디 시라 샤세 아니 디등부터 한 반을 공부해.
So now we are talking about achieving impartiality towards living beings, right? There's a preliminary practice that has to come before even doing this practice of achieving impartiality. Then, after having engaged in these preliminary practices, then the text goes into the actual training in impartiality. So Lama Tsongkhapa said, I have previously explained the stages of the preliminary practices and so forth in the context of the persons of small and medium capacities. Practice these preliminary practices here as well and then sustain your meditation. We have to engage in the preliminary practices, yeah, before we can develop impartiality, yeah, before you can even try to develop impartiality. And the preliminary practices are those that are taught in the context of the person of small and medium capacities earlier in the Lambrim, right? So reflections on, for example, karma, reflections on the faults of cyclic existence and so forth, yeah. So those have to be cultivated first. Then, here, we are cultivating impartiality as the basis for developing bodhicitta, isn't it? So in achieving impartiality, what has to be stopped is the mind that relates to others with either attachment or anger. Well, it says hostility here, right?
어떻시니 제단다 자단 갖고 어떻시니 다 대라 정말 선제 가지 아 가지라 자 가지라 다음에 초 니수 저 바깥에 생명 뭐 맞으면 잡아다 이제 가양 강게 받대 초그릇 진도 게 초그릇 면발라 민네 미게베 단용 고발 자오 소도 송시
So the text says page 36 of the Lambrim Chenmu page 140 of the root text, right? From the outset, establish an even-minded attitude, eliminating the bias which comes from attachment to some living beings and hostility to others. Otherwise, any love or compassion you feel will be biased. You will never feel unbiased love or compassion. So, cultivate impartiality.
Chokre maybe, Ninjeta, and Carson, Champa, Ninje, Gabati, 것을 깜짝다 것이나 깜짝 깨야니까 초기 매빈 인지 아니 즉 잡아 딘데시 깨야기 납자시 숭구요하래 그러왔다 딘데 초기 매빈 인지에다 잡아 깨야기 깨기 잡아니 비치야시 그러왔다 잡아니 이제 꼬고 그랬어 어떤지 숭구요하래
We are now looking at the instructions for developing unbiased love and unbiased compassion. The obstacles for developing unbiased love and unbiased compassion, the obstacles are attachment and anger.
我们的国民党来讲，什么当个钱呢？这个他突出不起来，国际上讲某个一般，可能是某什么党，那个在那当，十年十万年嘛是贪着了，这个人家给嘛的，他的钱多，那个借过来钱多，那个这什么党都可能什么党，恰当你来买的东西，那个恰当你经济贪着了，十年不赚钱。
So if you're someone who thinks about stuff, you know, if you relate it to your own mind, then I think it's very clear. Whatever I said here is so obvious. Nothing much to say, right? But what the text is saying is this, right? We don't have that unbiased love and unbiased compassion for everyone. In the sense when our love and compassion is not even-minded. And the reason, what's the reason? The text says it's attachment and hostility. Is that true or not? So this is something we have to figure out for ourselves. I mean,
So
what is the kind of impartiality that we are trying to achieve here? So of the two kinds of the two types of impartiality that is taught, wishing that living beings were free from such afflictions as attachment and hostility, that's one. And number two, being even-minded yourself after you become free of attachment or hostility towards living beings. Of these two, impartiality here refers to the latter, which is being even-minded yourself after you have become free of attachment or hostility towards living beings.
所以
of the two types of impartiality that is mentioned, do you know what is impartiality that we are talking about here in this context? So when you read, do you know what are the two types of impartiality that is mentioned or not? It's time to lift up your head and you have to give an answer. The question was asked, so if you didn't understand, you say no. If you understood what I was saying, you have to say yes.
So I don't know, there's no reaction, so I don't know what's... Do you understand or you don't understand?
They're abiding in equanimity. No.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, therefore you understand? Go and tell. First, you have to explain what the two different, yeah?
You cannot bring text there. If you read from the text, I also know, no?
Really understood, so must see text. Because it's so difficult.
Huh?
It's quite difficult.
Difficult?
Yeah. I mean, I read 6 times before coming here.
Wow.
I still think it's very difficult. But the point is, I think it's very difficult. I still think it's very difficult.
The one you don't have to say, we all understand the one. We are just trying to figure out intellectually the difference between the two, that's all.
Oh. One is, you want others to be free of the bias due to having attachment and hostility. The other one is, you want yourself to be free from the bias due to your own attachment and hostility.
Is that the second one?
Second one is yourself.
Yeah, free from that. Yourself what?
Free from the bias that come from attachment and aversion. The first one is others. I think different object. Looks like.
Okay, good.
So it shows that reading the text can give you correct answers.
You get the wrong answer, you read 6 times then.
Huh? Possible?
Well, it is
just like the what our friend has said, yeah. So the two types of impartiality that are mentioned here, the first is has more to do with others, yeah. It's like, you know, when you focus on others, then you wish that they abide in impartiality, they be free of attachment and hostility.
Yeah.
So that's the one kind of impartiality, right? But the kind of impartiality that we are talking about here in the context of a practitioner who is trying to develop bodhicitta, the impartiality that's the basis for bodhicitta. The impartiality is oneself. We ourselves become even-minded after having removed feelings of hostility or attachment towards everyone. Yeah. So anyway, of these two types of impartiality, the impartiality that we are supposed to cultivate here in this context, yeah, the one that we are discussing here is the second one, right?
What actually? That time, ma, that Gandhi's Gomgukres, that time, that Gomdam Gandhi's, that time, Sungguyar, that same time, ma, Gomgukui na, Gombei ma, Gandhi's, that time, that time, ma, that Jero Mujin Sungguyar, the Gombei Gomre.
So if this is the kind of impartiality that we need to cultivate, so how on earth are we supposed to develop it?
Yeah.
So since this is the order of meditation by which this impartiality can arise easily. So initially, you should take as the object of your meditation a person towards whom you have neutral feelings. Yeah. Right? Someone who has neither helped nor harmed you. So achieve an even-mindedness towards this person, removing your attachment and hostility. We take as our object of meditation a person whom we have neutral feelings towards, yeah. Someone who has neither helped us nor benefited us, yeah. So taking that person as your object of meditation, we eliminate any feelings of attachment or hostility towards that person, yeah. So we try to have a sense of even-mindedness, you know, with regards to that person. After we have able to, if you are able to develop that, and you have some good experience, you know, then we are asked to move. We are asked to switch object. Yeah. Okay, rather we should then focus on a loved one, someone, you know, yeah, friend or relative, you know, and then focusing on that person, then we try to generate even-mindedness by removing any feelings of hostility or anger. And or an attachment for that person. Yeah. Once we are able to achieve even-mindedness towards our loved ones, then you are supposed to move on to the enemy. Yeah. Okay, and then bring the enemy to mind, and then again, like before, develop an even-mindedness, yeah, by removing any feelings of hostility or attachment. So this is the order of meditation. So, I mean, when we think of our loved ones, there is an attachment, right? Why? Because this person matters to us. This person is on my side, you know, supports me and what have you, lah. Basically, so we have attachment. And when we think of our enemy, then we besong, right? Basically, walao, this one not my side, you know. This one, you know, whatever, then, you know, then we have what? Hatred, isn't it? So this is what usually happens, right? So from this, it's quite apparent, isn't it, that it is... our attachment and hostility that prevents us from having even-mindedness towards everyone. Yeah. Okay. So without getting rid of this attachment for the loved ones and hostility for the enemies, no, then there's no way to develop even-mindedness whatsoever. So So if attachment and hostility interferes or obstructs an achievement of even-mindedness towards every living being, right? Then how are we supposed to stop this hostility and attachment? So what kind of, like what do we have to, how do we have to think in order to eliminate attachment and hostility in order to be able to develop even-mindedness? Kamalashila's second stages of meditation, or the middling stages of meditation, offers two approaches. The first approach is this: contemplate as follows. From living beings' viewpoint, all equally want happiness and do not want suffering. Therefore, it is inappropriate to hold some close and to help them while keeping others at a distance and harming or not helping them. Then the second approach is this. From my viewpoint, if I have continuously been reborn since beginningless time, all beings have been my friends hundreds of times. To whom should I be attached? To whom should I be hostile? Stopping these feelings of attachment and hostility towards friends and enemies respectively is not easy, no, seriously. I mean, it's really tough, right? But if we reflect on these two approaches, right, they're given here in the text, I think definitely we can do something with our attachment and hostility. At least we can reduce them, right? Okay? So the first approach is this. You consider from the viewpoint of others, from the viewpoint of all living beings. From that perspective, everyone is equal in the sense, right? Right, if you look from the viewpoint of others, whether it's a friend or enemy, all are the same in, all are the same, friend and enemy are the same in not wanting to have any tai chi, don't want problems, don't want suffering, and everyone is the same, basically, in wanting to be happy. So, I mean, this is something we can think about, right? I mean, right? You look at, you know, from the side of the sentient beings, from their side, you know, you look from their perspective. If you look at them, I mean, whether friend or enemy, all of them are equal, the same in being, in that respect, right? All don't want problems. All of them want happiness, right?
tinde samal tayin duka na ane sulan gabu che, sulan da che iriki mi duks kunzu jipare duks, parang wane samal tayin di jipare duks ta nye wane kashila tangpo che, kashila nyebu che kwe yunzen mi duks, tinde zi yang samal tang tuk duwa.
So if we consider how, you know, from their side, you know, they are all equal, you know, whether it's a friend or enemy, both don't want problems, both only want happiness. So from that perspective, you know, they are the same, right? So if that's the case, then with that thought in mind, then, you know, we can kind of like ask ourselves, you know, is there a need then to be attached to one and to be hostile to the other? Yeah. So if we think about it, you know, in such a way, you know, then I guess we can see, you know, how perhaps, you know, there's no real reason to be attached to one and to be hostile to the other, then there's no real reason for that. So that's from the viewpoint of from all living beings' viewpoint. Then what about, you know, if we switch our perspective, you know, from our viewpoint, one person's viewpoint? From our personal perspective, you know, considering our personal situation, we have been taking rebirth since beginningless times. Yeah. So everyone has been our loved one numberless times. Yeah. Our enemy of this life has been our loved ones for numberless times and have benefited us many times. Similarly, the loved ones of this life have also harmed us numberless times in the past. So in that sense, it's all balanced, yeah. They're all equal in that sense. So the text is saying that if we limit the scope of thought, you know, to this life alone, yeah, or this person is enemy or friend in this life, if you just limit our scope of thought to this life alone, then it becomes very narrow, very small, yeah. Then there's friend and enemy, you know, that kind of stuff. But if we extend the scope of thought, you know, beyond one life, you know, bringing into the thinking about, you know, our whole existence since beginningless lifetimes, then from that perspective, you know, then, you know, the concept of enemy and friend, you know, having these feelings of hostilities and attachment would be inappropriate, yeah.
Oh, tuksine. Tadi karsena yang dila karsena kapita, tato tiri rangi niada mesti cawasi kini tu kala, ane cawasi kemaris karsena, le cawasi kuaci tu, ane rangga dah tangle deh macam ni, selama mana, jadi cawasi cuma dah tapi sih sumbu yore, 다가 나신 달라 맥시 다와 쇼쇼무지 끼인 누가나 안쓴 맞기 맞자 초기만 뒤차이만 다 딘데지 아니지 다 충분 다야 탑실라 사람 아마 장래 때만 나왔다 편통요래서 딘데지야 고 아 고노 쇼쇼무 다야 어떤 데서
So whenever we have feelings of attachment for people who are on our side, our loved ones or relatives and what have you, you know, then we can just remind ourselves that hey, that person, you know, has harmed us numberless times in the past. You know? Yeah, so to bring, you know, to bring things into perspective, yeah. So not to get so emotionally like whoa, hyped up or involved, yeah. And then when we develop hostility for someone who has harmed us in this life, who has caused us problem in this life, I mean, usually, you know, we get upset, right, you know, on the mental chatter and blah, 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 and whatever, you know. So, if we then think a little bit bigger, you know, oh, that person, yeah, but has also been helpful to me, my loved ones, numberless times, yeah. And I guess it helps, yeah, to reduce that hostility, right, towards that person. Well, of course, even just to think of these two approaches is not easy. Why? Because it presupposes, I mean, that you already have an understanding and conviction in reincarnation. In the beginningless nature of cyclic existence, the mind. It presupposes that. Secondly, you need to have that conviction in karma. And on top of that, you need to have a thorough conviction in what was taught in the person of medium capacity. Where, remember the discussion, how in cyclic existence, friends and enemies is never a certainty. They change. So you need to have conviction in all these things, you know, in order for the mind to be able to even accept, you know, these contemplations here.
Yeah.
These are the instructions. This is what is stated here. Okay, so we have to study them ourselves and think about it. You know? Think about it, yeah, and see whether it works or not. Especially, everyone is the same, right? When somebody bugs us, disturbs us, causes us and do something that we don't like, then usually if we, you know, we get disturbed, yeah. And if we don't do anything about it, then when the hostility becomes very strong, then we get all, you know, very disturbed, yeah. And the mind is so unhappy, yeah. So at these times, such times, then, you know, if we think about these instructions, you know, see whether it helps, you know. Similarly, when people help us, you know, automatically, yeah, you feel attached already. Right? It's a given, you know. So it's fine, yeah, but when it gets a bit too, you know, when we get too emotionally involved, too like, oh, again, then it becomes a problem. So in such times, then if we think about the instructions that are stated here, you have to see for ourselves, yeah, whether we experience any benefit. So we have to experience it, we have to try it out, yeah. Well, then the text then now at this juncture, the text raises a qualm, right? Are you telling me that there's no such thing as friend and enemy? I mean, are you telling me that or not? You know? Then the answer is no. We are not stopping the notion or the concept. We're not eliminating the notion or concept of friend and enemies. They exist and they will continue to exist, okay? What we have to stop is the attachment that arises when we think of our loved ones. That is what we have to stop. What we have to stop is the hostility that arises when we focus on the enemy, okay? So we are not here to stop the idea or the concept or the notion of friend and enemy. So in this context, your contemplation requires you to make the distinction between friend and enemy. It is not the notion of friend or enemy that you need to stop, but the bias that comes from attachment and hostility, which are based on the reason that some are your friends and others are your enemies. Yeah. So then the actual instructions of the Sevenfold Cause and Effect tradition starts, right, with the meditation on how all sentient beings have been our mothers. Yeah. So I guess this is something that we can start in the next lesson, maybe. So as I said, you know, I did ask you to read on your own, right, this whole section on developing bodhicitta. It's quite straightforward. If you read, it's very clear. From my own side, I don't think I can make it any clearer. I mean, it's just there, it's so straightforward, yeah. But perhaps those of you who don't read beforehand, then you know, then perhaps then there's benefit for me to say all these things in class. Yeah, to yeah. Otherwise, it's all there.
Okay.
Okay. We have a Sunday discussion, right? The monthly Sunday discussion. Right, so I will give you the questions now. First question, how does attachment and hostility harm us? The attachment and hostility that was discussed in the section on the persons of middling capacity, right? How does attachment and hostility harm us?
Tinema, energy, but nyamongi, yuchene, the lea sagi yore, sagi lea dila, the sabele, ni yume, the tini chabra kandiresta.
We accumulate karma motivated by the afflictions. The karma that we accumulate is karma, the karma or the actions that we accumulate are actions that are intentions and intended actions. What are the difference between these two?
The children will move on to the Sunday letter, Sunday letter, Sunday letter, Chapel Congress.
If you don't need long questions, then the question is this: what is the difference between actions that are intentions and intended actions?
Yeah, sure, true. That is some lady, that. The Mirkia of Pinjigle, the Bell Hart Job Pinjigle, Chabar Kadish to Kuyaras.
What is the difference between a projecting karma for human rebirth and the projecting karma for desire god, desire realm god rebirth? What is the difference between the projecting karma of the human life versus the projecting karma of a desire realm god? Basically, what's the difference between Tek Fong and Tua Pek Kong? Basically, there's something. He look at me, but he look at me, so. What is the difference between the projecting karma for human life and the projecting karma for desire realm god? That's illustration.
How many questions? Three. pattern number di tada parto parto chese bi kanje zigo res tida ani parto ne ani parto ne to kiyo da mes.
What is the lifespan of an intermediate state being? Can the intermediate state be... What did I say? No, the second one. We say change, is it? Reverse, yeah. You know, with the intermediate state, we change, yeah. Can change, right? Yeah, okay. Okay, what is the lifespan of an intermediate state being? Can the intermediate state be changed? Does that sound right?
No.
What is the lifespan of an intermediate state being? Can the intermediate state be changed? And as for the diverted, it's not an aeroplane, you know. It's diverted. Or that book. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about, right? According to the lower Abhidhamma, Abhidhamma Kosha, the intermediate state cannot be changed, right? According to the companion knowledge, the Abhidhamma Samuchaya, the intermediate state can be changed, right? So basically, can the intermediate state be changed or not? Can or not? Do you understand the question or not? I'm not asking you whether the intermediate state is changing from moment to moment. Or I'm not asking you whether it's impermanent or not. Whether the intermediate state can be changed. Let's say if you enter into the intermediate state of a hell being, before you enter into the hell, find the real hell, can your intermediate state of a hell being change into the intermediate state of a human being, for example? So, change.
Are you getting the clear question? That's good enough. Get the clear question, then okay. Enough? Huh? Not enough. Yeah, I'm sorry, I ran out the questions. You think enough? One more.
Yeah, optional. There was the S paper. not the H2 subject or something I was told, right? Nowadays JC got what H1, H2 optional, no one, all this.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Is there any diff? You have to answer them, right? But our thing is the same. Our thing is the same. Yeah.
네또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또또 then they have a junior and say to Maripa Yogaribes.
In order to take rebirth in cyclic existence, is it necessary to possess the ignorance that is part of the 12 links of dependent arising? In order to take rebirth in cyclic existence, it's not as if we want to, but sounds like that, right? And sometimes not poetic enough, what to do? In order to take rebirth in cyclic existence, does one need to have the ignorance that is of the 12 links of dependent arising? The ignorance that is part of the 12 links of dependent arising.
No. Huh? Oh, no. Okay, you have time to discuss, you don't have time then. Oh yeah, that was your friend. Okie dokie.
All right. Finish off with the usual prayers, yeah. So, as you